Happy Thursday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. This is the replay of the BOGP Open Line from this past Sunday, November 14th, 2021. Scott gives a brief recap of his experience at the After Hours Very Merriest Party at the Magic Kingdom from this past week. He also talks about his stay at the Polynesian. And we get tons and tons of calls during this show. So lots of input from our listeners and lots of fun Disney talk for your Thursday. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all of your Disney trip planning needs. Just drop by the website, themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention this show, the Be Our Guest podcast, we'll take great care of you. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a sincere thank you to our patrons. You allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week, every week, all around the world. And we couldn't do it without your support. Our patrons also get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, come on over, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the BOGP Open Line. It's you, me, and Scotty G here recording live in the Be Our Guest Podcast Studios on Sunday night, November 14th, 2021, for posterity's sake, in case you're listening to this show 15 years from now, which don't laugh. Sometimes I go back and listen to podcasts from 8 years ago. I know it's dumb, but I do. It's fun to listen to how things used to be. So we are here, and we're going to be taking your calls at 407-413-9395 about all things Disney for the next hour. Just having a good time. Lots to talk about, and we are just back the last couple of weeks from the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend. Welcome back, Run Disney. Thanks to everybody who's joining us here live on Facebook and YouTube. So glad to have you back with us as well. It makes our night when you join us live. That's what these shows are all about. So give us a call here in just a few minutes. But joining me today, my co-host, who was there a little bit longer than I was over the Wine and Dine race weekend, and he's showing his bling if you're watching the video. Little Ursula action. We have Scotty G up in snowy Michigan, from what I hear. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, it is a little snowy. I'm happy to be back on a Sunday live show. These shows are always pretty fun. When you kicked off the show, though, you said November 14th. I was like, holy cow, we're already halfway through November.
It's
I know
crazy.
We say that all the time about life, but life needs to slow down a little bit sometimes. Holy cow, I can't believe it's mid-November already.
Yeah, a little Ferris Bueller.
Yes, that's right. A little Ferris Bueller advice there for you. But yeah, just got back from Walt Disney World at the Polynesian for 5 nights. Looking forward to chatting a little bit. And, you know, marathon weekend's on the clock now for me. I think so for you, too.
That's right. Marathon weekend runners, you are on the clock. But we're going to hit the news real quick. We have one news story because Ricky has been, well, she's been slacking a little bit. Cut her some slack. She was at Disneyland, and she's going to have lots of content. I will tell you what, she is so excited that she got to see the Muppets on Main Street at Disneyland, which did look incredibly cool. I mean, that was an awesome use of the Muppets. And here, let me ask you this before I hit the news story, because this is, you know, I just brought up Ricky. But Scott, when you saw this coverage, Disney has done this kind of stuff over the years, right? Where they pull out something that is just incredibly cool. Almost like Muppet Mobile Labs was pretty awesome. When I could see, like, they came out in that, like, little Segway modified kind of thing in Epcot. I saw Lucky the Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom on one trip. Dude, that thing walked around. It was nuts. It looked like it looked like a real dinosaur. And few people got to see that because they shipped it off to Asia right after that. It just happened to be in the right place at the right time. But Disney does these things, and they're incredible, but I'm scared to death. Like, you'll see this thing 6 times and, like, see you later. Never see it again. I hope not.
It's crazy to think. Like, I've had a few moments like that. Like, well, I love what they do with the Beacon of Magic now, like, on Spaceship Earth. But right. I got to see, like, the Monsters, Inc. thing that they did just that one time on Spaceship Earth. And there's been a handful of other things. But it's like, man, like, do that more often because it's so awesome, you know? But, like, the Muppets thing was super cool. Hopefully that was like a test or something for more things to come in the future.
Yeah. So if you didn't catch it, it was basically like an omnibus with the Muppets up top. I think they were singing Christmas carols.
Yeah. Right? They're on the bottom too. They were kind of like all over the bus there. That's kind of like the trolley that they have at DCA. I think that's what it was. I could be wrong, but maybe it was at Disneyland. I can't remember now.
How cool is that? Like, that's a good use of the Muppets, right? I mean, they're just, they're forgotten for a while. And then, like, you know, they were in Liberty Square and that was really cool. Then they're gone, and then boom, they pop up for the, you know, weird Christmas party tie-in that nobody saw coming.
No one saw that coming.
It. I like it. Yeah. That's good stuff. Okay.
Maybe the next thing will be a nighttime parade just popping up randomly at
Yeah, you got to quit teasing. All right. So we have the news story we have over at the Mouse for Less. Just real quick. Disney has announced they've rounded out the list of celebrity readers for the Candlelight Processional this year. And just in case you're going to be down there, here is the list. It is not very long. From November, this kicks off on November 26th, the 26th to the 28th. And I'll butcher some of these names because, again, I don't know most of these people. It's kind of sad. It is Aluy Cravilajo. I don't know who that is. Do you know? Okay, let me ask you if you know who this is. Do you know who that is?
No,
I'm sure that's
I'm not good with the celebrities.
I'm not either. I'm not a celebrity person at all. So the November 29th through December 1st, Chita Rivera. Nope. December 2nd to December 4th, Jodie Benson. I know that.
That's I know that.
Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah, Little Mermaid. Yep.
December 5th to the 7th, Alton Fitzgerald White. Don't know.
I got nothing on that one, Mike.
I watch sports. I don't know.
There's got to be a caller for it. Someone can call and explain
exactly.
Who
somebody help me. December 8th to the 10th, Bart Millard. I think I might have graduated with him. I don't know.
Yeah, me and Bart go way back.
December 11th to the 13th, Lisa Ling. I've heard that name. I think she was on a TV show. Yeah.
And no offense to these people. I'm sure they're very talented at what they 100%. Do. It's just like not mine and
but
Mike's
my problem is, apparently. If I don't watch like TV shows. I don't watch, you guys all know, I don't watch movies. Like unless they're like, it, like play football in the SEC. Yeah,
probably, I've seen them before. That's the thing. I just don't know them by their name.
That's my problem. Exactly. Yeah. December 14th to the 16th, Andy Garcia, who I believe is from St. Louis. Is that Andy? There's an Andy from St. Louis because he's like the Andy. He's in all the
Your brother-in-law is Andy from St. Louis too. But
yeah, my brother-in-law is from St. Louis, but I think that might be, maybe that's not Andy Garcia. I don't know. December 17th to the 19th, Anna Gesteyer. I don't know who that is. December 20th to the 22nd, Courtney B. Vance. December 23rd to the 25th, I do know Stephen Curtis Chapman because he had a lot of songs when I was like in high school. I was into Christian rock at that time. So there we go. So that's cool. He gets to do Christmas Eve and Christmas night. December 26th to the 28th, Blair Underwood, which I know that is a famous actor. I've seen movies that I believe it's, he's in. And, oh, in the last one. Yeah, everybody knows this one, right? December 29th to the 30th, Pat Sajak. Yes. Everybody,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Who doesn't know Pat Sajak? So there you go. Oh, we got all the comments in the live chat. So we're figuring out who people are. There we go. I appreciate you guys because I... You know, if it was like Ed Orgeron, I'd be good, you know, or, you know.
He'll be unemployed by then.
Yes, he will. He'll be looking for something to do about then if they don't make a bowl
game. He'll have some spare time. He can do some. Could you imagine him reading that, though? Like his voice.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago. Go Tigers.
It'd be so bad. It'd be so great at the same time.
It would
time.
Be awesome. I'd pay double. I'd pay double for Ed Orgeron reading the Christmas story at the Candlelight Processional. Anyway, so let's talk about your trip real quick. You stayed at the Polynesian.
Yep.
Great place to be for the Wine and Dine race weekend because unlike a lot of other events that kick off and race out of the Epcot parking lot, Wine and Dine race weekend raced out of the Magic Kingdom parking lot, which is a different dynamic. So we're going to just get, I just want to hit a couple of things. Then people can call in and ask you questions because you got to use Genie Plus a lot while you were down there.
Sure.
But you were at the Poly races. You did the 10K and the half. You did the challenge. So just overall thoughts from the trip and then folks can call in with any questions I have because you have a lot of, you know, you have a lot to share here.
Yeah. Polynesian is a great place for Wine and Dine weekend in particular because of where the start line is in the Magic Kingdom parking lot. So if you want to, you can actually walk to the corrals. And that was my intention from day one, from booking that resort for Wine and Dine. But you know what I did, Mike, on both days? I took the bus.
I saw that.
Because it was so cold.
It was chilly. It was cold.
It was so cold that I just had to, I just had to take the bus. But Polynesian is a great place. You know, the location, you can't beat it. You know, I took the monorail probably 25 times this trip. You know, you got to take advantage of what you have.
That's right.
Didn't take the boat at all, which is kind of different for us because we love the boat. But yeah, awesome, awesome trip. We got to do the Christmas party, the after hours / Christmas party. That's kind of what we capped the trip off with. It was kind of like a cool thing to look forward to after all the races. Like we're going to end out with a big bang doing the Christmas party. And then we just did a lot of eating and hanging out with friends. Like it was just an awesome 5-night trip.
So I got to jump in here because you mentioned the Christmas party, which we can talk about here in just a second. But so we got up, I went to bed. Okay. So the Christmas party was actually, you know, where everybody knows it was an after hours event here. And, right. and I was, you know, doing this, that, and everything here at home. What night was that? Like a Tuesday? It was during the week. Like I was working.
So the first night was Monday, but I wanted to avoid the first night just to avoid any like mishaps they may have had or whatever to work out any tweaks. So we went for Tuesday night.
Okay. I knew it was during the week. So that's why I don't stay up late ever, but I went to bed. And so we got up in the morning and Pam's like, check out the picture of Scott. And so I'm like, okay, she's like, get on Instagram. He's got on his jams. Because when I saw the first picture, you guys were all there, but you were not in pajamas. Like, right. You guys were like holding up like some kind of flyer or like your credentials or whatever had.
I was still wearing it. It was just in the upper half is all you saw.
I'm just saying, I'm like, he was not in pajamas in that picture I saw when I went to bed. And then the next morning, Pam's like, check out the picture on Instagram. I was like, oh, he went all in on the party.
Yep. So that would be Elizabeth.
That's what Pam said. That's like,
and I'll tell you what, it was comfortable as heck.
It was
awesome. I kind of always tease like people that wear the pajamas, but it wasn't like too out there, you know. Like we had a cool shirt that Elizabeth made that said like home for the holidays.
Those were cool. Those were super
cool. Yeah, and then we had like the, what do they call it? Like hunter plaid. I don't know what the exact term is, but like the red and black checker plaid, and it was super comfortable. We got a lot of comments, and you know, another reason Elizabeth wanted to do that, we got our Christmas card, Mike.
Yes.
You know, in front of the castle, we got the front of our Christmas card in our pajamas.
No, I mean, there was no better place to do it. And it really did look great in front of the castle. I mean, it did look like a Christmas card. It's exactly what I said. And Pam did call, but it was also had to be Elizabeth's idea. So.
Oh, yeah. You know that wasn't me.
But she told me, she's like, you got to look at the Instagram right now. I was that's awesome. So anyway, that's what friends do. So, okay. So what did you think? We've been talking about the parties. We've seen coverage of it on social media at this point. There's probably been four parties by now, by the time we've talked about this. You know, price is expensive. You had three people to pay for. You got a family of three. Would you do it again? Was it worth it? Highlights? What would you change? What did you think about the party?
So I would do it again. And there were three big things I wanted to do at the party. Christmas parade. I haven't seen a parade in Magic Kingdom in who knows how long.
No kidding.
I wanted to do the fireworks, obviously, like the Christmas fireworks. You know, that's a nice little plus extra feature. And I wanted to see the stage show, which is something I normally don't do with these. Like I always hear about the Hocus Pocus stage show, you know, that they do at Halloween time for Mickey's Not So Scary. I know they've done one at Christmas, and I've never actually taken the time to do the stage show, but like those are like the three like unique things. The fact that it's kind of combined as like an after party, after hours event, which, you know, Mike, I love the after hours.
Yeah, you
events.
Do.
So I knew I was like, well, I got to get a couple Mickey bars. Got to get some soda. Got to get some popcorn. Cause you know, that's,
but wait,
you got to get your money's worth.
But you went to BOMA before this, right?
we did go to BOMA.
Like, oh my gosh. I was like, oh my God.
You know something crazy about that? I purposely held out on dessert. No Zebra Domes, nothing. Because I knew I wanted to like tear through some Mickey bars, which only had one Mickey ice cream sandwich during the party. I'm kind of disappointed in myself. But yeah, so those were the big things. And I'll tell you, so the plan all along was, I think a lot of the listeners of the show do this. Like when you go to a Halloween party or Christmas party, your goal is to watch the second parade because you feel like that's going to be a little less busy. So it was never our intention to watch the first parade, but we're walking through Frontierland. They're already got the tape off and we're like, man, the parade's going to come by in like 10 minutes. Let's just watch it. And boy, was that like an emotional moment for me. Kind of, you know, it's just been so long since you've seen like floats coming through.
Right.
Like I guess you see the cavalcade, you know, but like, this is different. And I will say though, it was a different parade. I don't know if anyone that's watched or seen, you know, that's been to the party, the normal parade, it was condensed. It's funny, I actually watched today like a video I took in 2018, and it was probably about 7 minutes longer than what we had last week. But you know, there's staff cuts, you know, there's less performers. They took out a couple of the floats, but the toy soldiers are still there, but they don't have the horns, which is kind of a bummer, you know, because those are always kind of fun.
I didn't think of that because the toy soldiers are my favorite. And here's what I noticed though. Maybe I noticed it more because they're wearing horns, was how their feet, you know, the boom, boom, boom.
They're almost like percussion. I love that noise.
It's awesome, man. I love that.
So yeah, I noticed like right off the bat, they didn't have horns. There were like less reindeer. There were less like walking characters, which is fine. I totally get it. Right. And they just shortened the parade, but just seeing the parade, was great. I went live on Instagram with it and our great friend Mike Bankhead. I hope he's doing well. I know he had like a surgery or procedure done this last week. So We're thinking about you, Captain.
Yeah, absolutely. He posted he was going to spare the gory details out of a picture. So God bless you, because I have a squeamy stomach. I don't know what you're going to take a picture of, but I'm glad you didn't show it. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. But he jumped on the Instagram live feed and he said, man, this just makes things feel a little more normal right now. And I couldn't agree more. Just seeing the parade go by and everyone watching just made me very happy to see again. That was awesome.
I bet though, too, real quick, I just want to jump in here. Like just the feeling, because like you felt that, right? It almost, and Mike said it, like it almost felt normal, but just being in there, because I mean, it's still early, right? I mean, you guys were there the second week of November. So it's really early in the holiday season. I mean, it still is right now, but that was even, a week and a half ago. Did it seem like everybody was just like so excited to be celebrating Christmas in a way that we could actually do it together again? I mean, it's been, like you said, it's been so long. So we're going to have like Christmas fireworks and stage shows and parades. I mean, it would have been, I just think it would have been cool just to be in that environment.
Oh yeah. The atmosphere was great. You talked about our pajamas. We weren't the only ones wearing pajamas that night or had like these kind of matching outfits on, but that was so great. And I will say, like, we didn't do many attractions, because it's hard to do that in a way. Like, so the party officially was from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. if I recall. So it was 4 hours. And those two things you want to do, like I want to do the parade, I want to do the stage show, I want to see the fireworks, like that takes up time. And another thing that we didn't necessarily plan on doing that we did is we got a picture in front of Santa Claus, which was awesome. Kind of like a social distance like sighting, but they had a photo pass there where you sat on a bench that was a few feet in front of Santa Claus and the gazebo in Liberty Square,
Tiana usually is. Yeah, I saw that.
It was such a cute spot. We actually went over there because Elizabeth was like, hey, this is all lit up really pretty, let's do a selfie here. And then we found out that's where Santa was. So that worked out pretty well. But we only did like two or three attractions, like Big Thunder and a few other things, but that's not what we were there for. But I feel like if you were there for the attractions, it was good. There was good value there too, because the lines were more like an after hours event, where you can just basically walk on a lot of things, maybe not like Seven Dwarves or some of those top dogs where you might have to wait a little bit, but it would have been a great night to hit attractions and drink all the unlimited soda and popcorn that you can have.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, it looked really cool from your coverage that you did. I mean, it looked like it was, it looked like we went back to 2019. I know that the party isn't the same, but it's to me. And I don't know. I mean, you saw the coverage of Boo. You didn't do Boo Bash, did you?
I did not get down there for Boo Bash.
This looks a lot closer to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Agreed. Than like Boo Bash and Mickey or Mickey's Not So Scary, right? I mean, because you got the fireworks and the parade. Those are the two big things.
For sure. A couple things I wanted to just hit on too. So we wanted to get that castle photo right with our pajamas. So after the first parade, we did a few things. Got in front of the castle, did our photo. Then all of a sudden we're like, well, it's 15 minutes of fireworks. And we're right in front of the partner statue at that point. We got a great spot for it. Got kind of emotional during that too, just, with the Christmas soundtrack, it was so great. And then at that point we're like, well, the parade is going to be like another 30, 40 minutes. Let's just get a spot on Main Street. Let's watch it again. And it's more fun on Main Street. It you get the snow.
Yeah, I love the parade on Main Street.
It was so great having the snow come down. It was kind of chilly. We kind of took our spot on the curb across some Starbucks. So it was a really good view where you could kind of see the castle. They had one of the stage shows going on while we were waiting. So we got to see that from a distance, so we got to see the parade again. Super awesome. But then we closed the night 1 a.m. going to that stage show I talked about. And that was fantastic. I had no expectations basically, but like it was a cool little like dance number where they had live singers actually, like the face characters were singing live. Awesome choreography. And it was just like a cool little like 10-minute like Disney Christmas greatest hits show. And nice. I can't recommend that enough. I thought that was super awesome.
That's good that you brought that up, because that's something I would just skip, right? Because I mean that's one of those things, it's like filler to me. But if you give it the seal of approval, it's 10 minutes. But I mean, it's one of those things that if they're singing the Christmas songs, that's why you're there, put you in the spirit.
Yeah, we got right up there in the front too. Like, remember where we saw people like camping out for fireworks? Yeah. That's where we were. We were just dead smack on, and it was a perfect spot for it. And honestly, a great way to cap off an awesome Christmas party, and it definitely got us in the Christmas spirit. Came home, I got the XM radio on all the Christmas stations now, and I'm ready to go.
Oh, see, I'm holding off just a bit. Maybe at the end of this week.
I would normally like to, Mike, but I couldn't because, like, I was already in the spirit.
I know that's what I'm. That's what I actually I'm seeing that from everybody that's down there right now. They're saying when I come home, I can't just like turn it off now because like you've been in it at Walt Disney World. You can't just come home and like wait. Like you're just I'm in. Like the switch has been flipped. So
for sure,
I get it. Okay. But so
my final assessment, I'll say like I know it's pricey, right? It's a pricey event. They're only going to get pricier as you get closer to Christmas. Mm-hmm. But I would just go into it like. Do the Christmas stuff. I guess it depends on how often you go. Like if you don't go very often, you might want to take advantage of those low crowds, right? So try to find a balance. If you're going to watch one of the parades, do the second parade. The crowds thin out a little bit. Try to get on Main Street for that one. So maybe in the beginning part of the party, you know, do the attractions up to like the firework time. And then after fireworks, get your spot on Main Street for that second parade. And I think you'll get some really good value there. Oh, and get some popcorn while you're waiting for the parade too. We had Beth as a runner who got a bunch of popcorn and sodas while we held our spot on Main Street.
So was it hard to get like, were the lines long to get like sodas and popcorn and
that's right. You've never been to one of these.
No, I've heard the lines can be long to get these things. I don't know. How was it for this?
Well, they've changed things over the time that I've started doing it where you used to have to wait in line and be like, yeah, I want this Diet Coke. I want this water, Sprite, etc. But now like on the cart that they have, they just like lay them all out.
Okay, so that's how it was.
If you're just walking by, you just snag one off the cart.
Okay, so that's how it was like for when I've gone to Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry. You just like would go into Columbia Harbor House, and if you like during the Christmas party, they just have like hot chocolates on the counter. You just grab one and you can get like a sugar cookie or whatever you want. It's laying everywhere.
I didn't talk about that though. Yeah, so there were four spots where you could get a snickerdoodle cookie. It was by Cookies by Cheryl, I think.
We get those all the time here. Those are good.
Yeah. So they're like pre-packaged. I think this is the first time they've worked with that particular company.
Oh, yeah,
so,
we get those all the time.
So we went to Pinocchio's and we got our cookie. We got our hot chocolate. We sat inside, you know, took our mask off, got to enjoy it a little bit. And there were three other locations. So you could do that throughout the night to get, you know, your cookie and the hot chocolate. And I want to say there was like four specialty treats for purchase. They didn't really intrigue me. One that did was like an orange bird citrus churro or something. I just never got around to it, Mike. So if anyone gets one of those, I'd love to hear what your thoughts were on it. But awesome time. Can't recommend it enough. But I'm like the worst person to ask because, you know, I love these hard ticket events.
You're all in on the after hours.
I just love the atmosphere. I love the party atmosphere. It's different than a normal day. I love the parks at night. So it's just always a win-win for me.
That's all. And I love that you're excited for it because really, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you take a normal Walt Disney World because we've always said the parks are so much more magical at night on a regular day in July. Like if you go during the day, they're fun. You go at night, it's cooler. The lights are just, it makes it more special at night. But the after hour events are just, it's on steroids. You get the snacks. I mean, you're paying for it, but it's way better.
It was such a crazy trip, Mike. So it started off the night I left, you know, I had to wake up for a 7 a.m. flight. So I was up at 3 a.m. That was Friday. Saturday morning was the 10K up at 3 a.m.
One sec. Okay, well, let's get to the call real quick.
I can get to that later. It was just something funny I was going to tell you.
I want to grab it because this person was trying to get in here. I don't want to miss him. Okay, hey, who's joining us?
Hi, Mike. This is Brooke from Pennsylvania.
Brooke, what's going on?
And hi, Scotty G.
Hey, Brooke.
I emailed you. I was in Walt Disney World recently. We got back from a trip. We went from the 26th through the 30th. Of October.
Nice.
And it was our first trip back. It was awesome. We did the Boo Bash, so not quite as normal, I'd say, like the after party stuff, like as the Merry Christmas one, but it was still really fun. We went, it was my daughter's 8th birthday on that night. So when the tickets became available back in the summer, I just bought it. I had to. Halloween's her favorite holiday and it was her birthday and it was great. But like Scotty, we also stayed at the Polynesian. And so we had the ability to go back the night after on a Wednesday night for the extended hours for deluxe resort guests. And we don't always stay deluxe, but this was phenomenal. And that's just, I wanted to call and let people know if you like, we're a big big fan of split stays. And so we often stay at a lower, like a moderate resort or one of the values, and then we'll do a night or two at a deluxe. And I think if you have a bigger party, a bigger family, and you can swing that for a night, I mean, that night was fantastic. I mean, we just walked onto everything in the Magic Kingdom. We did Seven Doors twice.
So, Scott, did you get to do that? I mean, you did the after hours. Yeah, yeah.
So, Brooke is spot on. So, we did it at Epcot. And just think about Epcot with not as much stuff to do. Like, yeah, like you could, we did, I think we only did, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. In Norway. Why can I not think of the Frozen Ever After? Oh my God.
It's our first time in forever. What is it called?
Yeah. But we did that.
Frozen Ever After.
Probably wouldn't be the best choice of park to do that. Just to the, I mean, you did it right, Brooke, doing it at Magic Kingdom. And I can only imagine if it was anything like Epcot, yeah, you were probably able to do Seven Dwarfs twice and anything that you wanted. Like,
we
that
had did. It was great. And, you know, we did, it allowed us to focus on events like watching cavalcades. And we did like the dance party in front of the castle, which was, honestly, that was my favorite part. That's really funny. My daughter was really kind of pooped out by that time, but I was just making her dance and the DJ was great. And it just was after, you know, the last couple of years we've all had like a dance party in front of the castle, which is like everything I needed that I didn't know I needed.
That's so true.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that was a thing. We just stumbled upon it when we were waiting for the Maleficent to come by and we just hung out there for like, I don't know, a half an hour, it felt like. It was just so fun. And it was just, you know, me surrounded by strangers dancing in front of a castle. Okay. Well,
we can do this again. We can dance. Yeah, that's
I know.
It's so
yeah.
Weird. Yeah, it's the things we didn't think we get excited about. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fantastic trip and a fantastic trip to come back to after a couple years. So,
and I'm glad you brought up that deluxe evening, you know, bonus hours, mm-hmm. because every person that I talk to that goes to these things is like, this is like the little secret nobody's talking about. I mean, this is almost, you're paying a lot for these rooms. Don't get me wrong. These deluxe rooms are expensive, but it's almost like, I mean, you're not getting the goodies to eat and to drink and all that kind of stuff. But I mean,
totally.
If you want to have a park almost to yourself, like an after hours event, this is what you're getting from what everybody's telling me.
And if you have a family of five and you do a value resort and you swing a night somewhere where you can fit five people in a deluxe studio, you know, I don't even know how much the Christmas party costs. Scotty would know. But I mean, if you times that by five, you know, one night that honest at rack rate, you know, it could be $630. But that's like, you know, those parties are really expensive. So especially if you're not going, not everyone can go in December. Not everyone can go in October or September. But if you're going in March and they're having that, it's wonderful. It was great. I mean, yeah, we missed the popcorn, but we just went like ride to ride to ride to ride. And there's that magical feeling in the Magic Kingdom when it's nighttime and it's empty and the lights are twinkly and you can just ride as many times as you want. And it was a really fun experience.
You just said it. Great. That is exactly, that is so my favorite. Yes, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah.
The calendar is weird for this. So it's like every other Tuesday for Magic Kingdom or every other, it was really weird because we had to like look it up because we weren't even sure. Like I saw it on the WDW Today channel, like in the room. And I was like, oh yeah, I think Epcot has this extra magic thing tonight. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, it was.
So that you can cook.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. When I was there, it was just Monday night Epcot and Wednesday night Magic Kingdom. And I'm sure they change it all the time. And I guess I wonder why they're not doing it at Hollywood Studios. I don't know why they're not expanding it to the other park.
I think the deal with Hollywood,
the Animal Kingdom, we know.
With Hollywood Studios, though, like back when they used to have extra magic hours in the evening, like I would avoid that park. I never went to extra magic hours in the evening at the studios just because it always got so crowded so fast. Now it's probably better now because there's a lot more rides now than probably 5-6 years ago. But without the shows and as small as that park was, and everybody went there, you know, for the extra in the evening. Now, you're right, though. Mm-hmm. Now with more rides, I think you'd be fine. Yeah, it'd probably be different.
It has a lot more rides. A
lot more to do.
And also with the deluxe one, it's not as many guests.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point.
As the regular Magic Hours.
Well, plus two things.
I think it would work well there.
It worked great there because think about it. I mean, you have Epcot or you got Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club right there. You could walk, you know, over to the studios.
Exactly.
And then you got the monorail.
Exactly.
You know, hotels that aren't, you know, they're relatively easy to get to. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the other thing I would say. Like, we didn't do the Epcot one, but you know, if the fact that I was staying at the Polynesian made the Magic Kingdom one just a really attractive option. Where if I was staying in one of those Epcot resorts, going to Hollywood Studios would be awesome. I don't know if I'd do it, like the transportation at night back to the Magic Kingdom area. I don't know if I want to do that midnight, but if I was staying over there, I would. So like it does self-select guests, you know, it wouldn't be a big crowd. Disney, I don't know, they're not really giving much away these days, but they should add that in.
That's good part. And you know what, you're going to have a tough time for the 9th birthday next year. I mean, if your daughter got to go to the, you know, party for her 8th birthday, you're in trouble next year. I just got to tell you. You're not going to top that.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do that again, but we did have a great time. Well, I have to say, you know, kids, they find things you don't expect them to love. I mean, she loved the Polynesian. She loved the party. She equally loved the one night we spent at Pop Century. She loved that. That was our first time there. And we rode the Skyliner in the morning to the studios. It was our first time on that. And she can't wait to go back. So, you know.
Smart
kids are happy. It's Disney.
Smart kid. A little variety is a good thing. You know, a little Pop Century, a little Polynesian. You got to have a little of both so we can all afford to go.
You have to mix it up. Yeah, for sure. This was definitely a save up for a couple years. And it was her birthday. It was my 40th birthday earlier this year.
Yeah,
so
gotta celebrate the business.
It was a splurge vacation.
Hey, you got to do that every once in a while. That's why we work hard all year.
Hey, Brooke.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Out of the Moana rooms.
Oh, it was so beautiful. I mean, it was just perfect. I mean, it was decorated. I mean, I felt like it was not over the top at all. Sure, there was, you could see Moana in the light fixture, but it was not over the top, Mike, for people who don't want characters, but it was beautiful. All the finishes were perfect. We got upgraded. We got a little, you know, pixie dust somehow. I paid for a like standard view with the least expensive room at that hotel, but we ended up getting into the, if club level had been available, we were in that building, but Hawaii, I guess, was the building, and we overlooked a pool, and it was beautiful. I was definitely spoiled.
Oh no. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. We sure appreciate it, man. That sounds like a great trip, and we appreciate that feedback because, that is one of the little secrets right now. Stay at Deluxe, get those evening extra magic hours. Mm-hmm. Not extra magic hours, but
yeah.
I don't even know what they're called anymore.
For sure.
There's so many new names. I can't keep up.
Extended hours? I'm not sure.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Extended magic hours.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, hey, have a good night and appreciate it, and happy Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you.
Yes, you too. You too.
All right, take care. Guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, we got a lot of calls coming in, so let's grab them here. We got 4 on hold here. It's amazing.
4.
I know. 5 right now. All right, we have our next call. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey, it's Maggie from the Mitten.
Maggie from the Mitten. It's Mike from Missouri and Scott from the Mitten. What's going on?
It's been a long time, guys. How are you?
Doing great. What's up, Scott?
Yep, doing pretty well. Did you have snow where you were?
Good. I'm glad to hear it. This morning? Well, I went... This is a late story. I went in September and I tried to get call right after my trip, but everybody was so hyped for the 50th. So it was hard for me to get through. So we are telling a 2-month-old story. Is that cool?
We tell 10-year-old stories on the podcast sometimes. We're good.
Well, I mean, I knew the answer was yes.
Yes. We don't turn away stories.
All right. So if you guys recall, I think this was over the summer, but I don't exactly remember how time works at all anymore. I came up with the idea of Never Have I Ever for one of the themes. And we were talking as like major Disney fans, what were things that we have never done?
Right.
And I called in and I told you guys that I had never been to the Grand Floridian. So backing up to my September trip, my cast member friend could not get us tickets for that Saturday. It said there was tons available. It said that it was a 1 crowd day out of 10, and we just couldn't get reservations. So we're driving around and being like, what are we going to do tomorrow? And I told her that same thing. I said, I've never been to Grand Floridian. And my old roommate was horrified. She was like, how has this happened? So we drank around the monorail. And you guys, I had such a great time. I had so much fun with that.
Scott's
that's awesome.
That.
No, that's fun. I love the little monorail crawl. So did you where'd you go at the Grand Floridian? Did you go to the Enchanted Rose then?
Yeah, we went to the Enchanted Rose and I loved that. Like I'm a total, you know, I mean I'm in grad school for education right now. I'm a total nerd. I was like, drinking in a library is my dream. Like this is perfect.
I'll tell you what, being in education will lead you to drink. I'm just saying experience.
Oh my god.
It's okay. I'm keeping my job. I'm still gonna work for myself. I'm not going into to regular education. I'm still tutoring. I just want to be more of an expert in my field.
There you go.
But I loved it. Clearly I'd never been to the hotel at all. I loved the Enchanted Rose. We thought that might have been the best the whole thing. And then at the Contemporary, they hadn't opened the downstairs restaurant yet. It was still right before it was about to open, the one that whatever replaced the Wave. So we just drank in the little bar that's right next to Chef Mickey's, which was very unspecial. Yes, Outer Rim. Scott, you know everything.
I know my lounges.
He does. Him and Pam.
So that just felt very not special compared to going to Enchanted Rose and going to Trader Sam's, right? So we actually started at the Polynesian, put in our name for Trader Sam's, and then started the crawl.
Smart.
That's a good idea.
That strategy.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So, I don't want everybody to take that strategy.
But the
listeners of the podcast, I'll let them have that.
Good call.
Well, what happened to me, I would start with that strategy, and then I would take a boat to the Wilderness Lodge, end up at Geyser Point, and never leave is probably what would happen to me.
Yeah, right. I know.
Right. Yeah. No, you got to have it planned out. Well, this is actually very funny. So they told us it was going to be 4 hours for Trader Sam's. So at about the 3 hour mark we're at Outer Rim, and I go, guys, we should just sort of head back there, and we can shop and maybe go up to Tambu Lounge and have one drink.
Teacher.
And they're right like, here. Yeah. So we're walking up to the monorail, and I get the text right then that we have 15 minutes to get to Trader Sam's.
Perfect.
And I'm a little tipsy, and I'm like, oh no.
How fast can that monorail go? I know it can do 80. Come on.
I'm talking to the monorail guys, and the guy goes, well, I'm going to be the driver. This guy's getting his break. I'm going to drive. So I know. And then the other one was like, go into this car. This is the car you want to be in. So they both helped us out. And I'm telling you, we got up to the Polynesian and I ran. I'm like pushing children out of the way, like diving through crowds. He did. He put us right in the right cart where I was directly getting off the monorail right there. And I ran up to Trader Sam's. I was like, I'm here. I was like, it was exactly 15 minutes on the dot. I was like, I made it. I'm here.
Don't give away my stool.
That's so perfect. That's like a scene out of Home Alone or something. Racing to get in.
I'm sure people thought there was something wrong with me as I'm zipping through the Polynesian, but it worked out and we ended up having a really fun time. And we rated, cause I have a little podcast, and we did a little rating along the way of what we thought was the best. And we actually all enjoyed the Enchanted Rose Lounge the best. Trader Sam's, we said, tied with it when it became fireworks time and everybody left and it was less busy. When Trader Sam's was not at a 10 noise level, I enjoyed it a lot more. But overall, we had a really, really fun time doing that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love Trader Sam's when it's just a nut house. It's crazy in that place. I love it. Oh, that place is so nuts.
Oh,
that sounds like a great evening, though. That is perfect.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect. We had a super, super fun time. And at Trader Sam's, we told them, she asked if I wanted more drinks. I was like, ma'am, I do not need more drinks. I am great. And I told her what we'd done, that was my fifth drink of the day. And she was like, here, I've got something for you. And she gave me a celebration pin. And she was like, completed the rounds or whatever, however she
that's
wrote
awesome.
It. So that
I thought
was
she
very funny
the backside of
too.
Water for
yeah,
some reason.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That's what I thought. Yeah, exactly. You need a little backside of water with some rocks in it.
Right. Yes, that's definitely. No, she gave me, I had a little celebration pin, and all evening people in the, around cast members were like, what are you celebrating? And I was like, we completed the drinking. Hooray.
I'm sure you did. Yes. People that do that are usually very proud of themselves. I'm just saying, especially at Epcot and World Showcase.
I imagine. No, serious question, though.
I did that
though.
One time.
Serious question. Mm-hmm. Did you get a mug? Did you purchase a mug from Trader Sam's?
No, we did not purchase a mug. My friend and I, I do a fall trip almost every year, and it is a quick weekend trip to be able to hit up Food and Wine and to go to Halloween Horror Nights. So So it's normally like a, we're flying Spirit Airlines. We've got one backpack. We just like cram it in for one weekend.
Amazing so race. That's amazing that race style right there, man. Spirit Airlines and a backpack. I'm telling you, man, Phil Kogan's going to be at the airport.
Yeah, right, right. So yeah, that's this. So the fall trip is never the, like, I'm buying lots of souvenirs trip. That's the, I have to figure out how I'm getting this home trip.
When you get home, you're like, because like right now I'm looking at my mug that I got right when Trader Sam's opened, and I'm glad it still isn't broken. I'm shocked. I said that now the shelf will fall.
You just cursed
it,
Mike.
It's exactly right. But it does look really cool.
Knock on wood real fast.
Yeah, well, for Micah here in the studio, that's all I got. So, yeah, but you know what? That proves, though, that you know, Walt Disney World can be, you know, you can have so much fun so many different ways, right? We talk about the theme parks so much and the resorts, but it's also just about going around and, you know, enjoying the transportation, the lounges, and just most importantly, the people that you're with. I mean, that's what really makes or breaks these kind of things.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I was with my best friend here from Michigan and my best friend from Florida, and the three of us always have a really great time together. I mean, I had been very disappointed that we couldn't get park reservations, and I didn't really care where we were going to play. I wanted to just go somewhere and do something on that Saturday, and we couldn't get anything. And then doing the pub crawl around the monorail ended up just being a blast. Like, it was so fun.
Sounds good.
So
to me.
Awesome.
It does sound good. It's awesome. All right, well, hey, we're going to cut you loose because we got four other people trying to get in.
Go.
We're try to get them to the top of the hour. Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Don't be so long between calls.
I won't. Talk to you guys later.
All right, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that story. Yes. Have a great one.
Yes, see you later.
Bye.
All right, let's get this one right here. Da-da-da-da. Who is next? All right, we have our next caller on the line. Who's joining us?
Steve from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Steve in Erie, Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I called maybe 2 weeks ago because my family was about to take the trip, and you guys gave me some pointers about meeting characters. So
yes,
I want to
remember this.
You.
Yes.
Yeah, because we lucked out because the characters, like, they started to appear. You know, you can go to the Fairytale Hall, and we were able to actually see them there with the modified experience.
But yeah, the sightings.
Yes. But we were able to see Buzz in Tomorrowland. And we saw Stitch, and during the Christmas party, we were able to see a few other characters, so thank you for calming my nerves prior to our trip, because you were right.
You're very welcome. We appreciate you calling.
Now, Mike was spot on, because Mike was like, he called it. He was like, they're going to want to get these characters out before the Wine and Dine race weekend.
I
think it was like a week before that
you know
they
what?
Came out.
My grandpa always said, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. You know, so that's how I live my life. It just happened to happen. So there you go.
Yeah. I don't know that it was a blind squirrel, but I do appreciate the fact that it worked out for us. The other reason I wanted to call was because, you know, we just came back from our trip, and, you know, certainly the Christmas party was a highlight. But, you know, I know there's a lot of angst with people as they're planning their trips and coming with the whole Genie Plus system and booking, you know, lightning lanes and all that stuff. And I just wanted to say, we had probably, like, an anomaly in that it was just this horrible experience of the fact that my app would not allow me to book Genie Plus for the day. We didn't book it for a whole trip. We just booked it for, you know, specific days because we just wanted to have it for Magic Kingdom and for our Hollywood Studios day. And when I would try to book it, it wouldn't let me. But with that, I would call in the morning, like 6:10 a.m., and talk to the customer service on the phone, and they were able to assist. And when they weren't able to assist, because a lot of other weird stuff happened, when I just went to the lobby, because we were staying on property, the manager of French Quarter, his name was Chris, he like went over backwards to try to help us to get it resolved. So for those listeners that are out there and they're stressing because, you know, the whole 7 a.m. window is coming and approaching, and you got to get your picks in there. If that's you and you're stressing and you try to get on there to book it after midnight for that day, just know that if you go to the lobby and you talk to someone at the lobby, even if it was 1:37 a.m., because at one point I was there at 1:37 a.m. because they couldn't resolve it on the phone and then I got disconnected. But they at the desk are able to assist. I don't know what kind of power they have, but they were able to actually go and add Genie Plus to our account And they were even able to, when they couldn't figure out why part of my party was missing on the app, they just vanished. They were able to actually book the lightning lanes, the individual lightning lanes for us. And so it was a huge help. So for those listeners out there who are stressing about G+, if it should go completely wrong, just talk to the person at the front desk because they have the power to fix it.
And I appreciate you calling in to say that so the people do have another option and something to have in their back pocket if this stuff happens. But when you say that, I mean, just as somebody who, you know, this is what I do every day for a living, right? And I help people try to plan the best vacations ever. And when I turn everybody loose, you know, you plan all these trips forever and then it's time for my guests to go, right? And go on their vacations. And once they get to the airport, I'm done. You know, pretty much it's, you know, we've done everything we can. You go and you do, you have your meals, you go to your theme parks, you have your fun. And when I hear this, like you say, you know, you're in the lobby at French Quarter at 1:37 in the morning. Like I hear that and I'm just like, oh, because I just know how tiring a Disney vacation is. Like you should be sleeping at that point, getting ready to go have fun the next morning at 8 o'clock in the morning like that. And I know things happen. I mean, nothing's perfect, especially with technology. I mean, every app's going to have bugs, but I mean, just this stuff, and it's still new, this Genie Plus stuff. I mean, it's still less than a month old, but it's just, oh, I hate to hear that you're having that kind of an issue. I mean, I'm glad you got it resolved, but I mean, I want to almost apologize on Disney's behalf, even though I have nothing to do with this. Just hearing that, just that kind of gets me, because I hate that you had to go through all those hoops just to kind of get what you were looking for, which isn't nothing extra. You're just kind of getting what you paid for, right?
Yeah, you know, certainly, and Disney was very apologetic as well. I mean, no one, you know, can anticipate the kind of bugs that they're having, but when it worked, it was awesome. And, you know, in our Magic Kingdom day, you know, when we didn't have the issue, we waited in no lines. You know, we just played the system well, and we really enjoyed, you know, every minute. I mean, we rode, you know, everything Summarized twice. So it does work really well when it works well. But if it doesn't, you know, just talking to the front desk. You know, when I say, like, they really tried to accommodate us, when they actually got us the passes, we had two Ratatouille individual lightning lanes for each of the party, each of the people. There were eight of us in our party, two of them, and they did not charge us.
That's good.
So I'm not saying everyone would get that kind of, but you know, when you're frustrated at 1:37,
yeah, but they should do that at 1:37 in the morning. Because really, I mean, if you think about it, that's not costing them anything. I mean, it's something that it's comped. Like it would cost you something, but it doesn't really physically. It's not a tangible thing. It's giving them, you know, guest recovery. But yeah, I mean, that's a very fair compensation for somebody that's standing there at 1:37 in the morning. I mean, my goodness, that's I'm glad that they did you right that way. That's good. That makes me feel a lot better.
Yes, they did us right. And my wife said the same thing about it doesn't cost them anything, because I kept saying to the guy, I'm not trying to get free stuff, because right. I was afraid they were going to think I was just someone complaining to get free stuff. Because every day I had to call and say, this isn't working again, and half of our party's missing. What's happening? What's going wrong with the system? And so, yeah, regardless, they still gave us the freebie. But yes, it didn't really cost them anything. Even with the frustration, it was using the system was great when it worked.
Well, let me have Scott hop in here, because we never even got to this yet. We didn't get to the races and we didn't get to Genie Plus, which we were going to talk about. But hey, this is the open line. This is what this is all about. We'd much rather take your calls, and we'll be talking again next Sunday too. So Scott, real quick, I mean, do you echo these kind of sentiments? Do you have any trouble? I mean, did it save you? What did you think in general with Genie Plus? Because it's your first time with it too.
Yeah. So I only used it one day and it was awesome. I had no real issues. So my big thing was, so we did Ratatouille the day we came down. You know, we got a boarding group, but we really wanted to do it again, but we didn't have like an Epcot park day. So I was like, man, I would love to purchase the lightning lane for Ratatouille, but on our Genie day, we're going to be at Magic Kingdom. So I wasn't sure if I could like have my Genie day be for my park pass, which was at Magic Kingdom, and purchase for a park hopping park Epcot later that night. And I was able to, so it was awesome. So I went right in, got my Genie day started. Boom, I was able to get a Ratatouille for like 6:30, 7 o'clock later that night at Epcot and still be able to use Genie all day during the Magic Kingdom. So it was flawless for me, and I really loved it. But that was my experience, and I only used it for the one day. In the chat, everyone's talking about these codes, and I feel their pain. So, Mike, what's been happening? So we shared the same login with me, Elizabeth, and Emily for the app. And every time one of us would try to log into the app, it would like send us like, oh, we're mailing you a security code to your email address. Like punch in this six number code.
I hate checking my email on vacation.
I got 65 of them during the trip. Like it was so annoying. But I think that's what everyone's talking about in the chat. And like, that is really frustrating. I don't know if it's necessarily tied to Genie. I think it's tied to the new app updates, which is, I guess, kind of tied to Genie, but super frustrating. I know it wasn't just us. It was happening to friends we were with. And I'm seeing it blowing up in the chat too. So I hope Disney can kind of work on that, because that's frustrating to have to do every time you log into the app.
Oh, that would drive me crazy, because I hate seeing my email. You know that. I never open my email on vacation, because then I see you have 429 emails. Even though I have somebody covering for me, I'm like, that's 429 emails. I got to check when I get home. And I'm like, it's only Tuesday and we're not going to be home until Friday. Ah, yeah, I don't like that. Anyway, but it sounds like you guys, you had good experience with it once you got it rolling. So that makes me happier.
Yeah, for us. Yeah.
No, we didn't get the code emails like you guys were getting the code emails. Like, one of our issues was, and I know that we are encouraged by our travel agents in advance to make sure everybody is connected on My Disney Experience. And we did that in advance, but when we arrived on our second day is when people from our group just disappeared. Like they went away, and Disney couldn't explain it. No one knew why it was happening. We hadn't made any adjustments. So again, it was just a fluke. I agree with you that when it worked, you know, when for our Hollywood Studios day, we didn't use it as much, but we were able to get Slinky Dog. We didn't have to wait in a huge line. We were able to get a Toy Story Mania. I mean, we were able to use it. And of course, the individual lightning lane for Rise of the Resistance is literally a walk-on. I mean, that was amazing. And there's a 20-minute wait, and you just walked on. Certainly, it's a great value there. But so, again, it was just a fluky thing of mine. So if others have a fluke, just talk to someone at the front desk or the people in the blue umbrellas. They were very helpful as well.
Those guys are great.
Lots of lines at those blue umbrellas at the parks, though. And I noticed a lot of people there. I don't know if it was because the ride was down or but I had the best luck talking to the people at the resort.
Let me ask you guys one other question. I was going to ask Scott, but we got both you guys here. We saw in the earnings call a couple days ago that they mentioned that 1/3 of the guests in the parks are buying Genie Plus this early. Like, I'm pretty shocked. I thought I would have said 1/4 would be strong at this point. I mean, it's not even a month old. I mean, people are.
Feels right, Mike. It feels right.
You think? I mean, it's
the
crazy.
Day I used it, it felt right. Really? Like, but what's interesting, like I couldn't get Peter Pan at a reasonable time. Like, and I was, cause I was park hopping, you know, to Epcot to do the Ratatouille. Plus we had Olivia's. So I couldn't get like a good Peter Pan time, but what you can do is like, just keep checking back. And then all of a sudden, like it was always like 5 or 6 for Peter Pan. Then boom, like a 1 o'clock popped up. So someone must've moved it or whatever. I got lucky. So bam, I just jumped on it. So obviously just keep looking. But yeah, I think a lot of people are using it.
That's funny.
I didn't feel the same way? You know, no, when we did the whole trick, you know, we listened to other podcasts and watched people in blog posts talk about the fact that if you book something that's 2 hours out for your first, then you can sort of stack them. So we did that, and we are a rope drop family, so we were able to do a lot of those things like Peter Pan early with minimal wait. And then when it came after 11 o'clock, we always had 2 lightning lanes.
Yes.
And we just sort of alternated. And at some point we had 3. We're not sure how that happened, but so I didn't feel as though I was looking at the lightning lane itself. You know, I remember the old fast pass, and sometimes, you know, waiting in a line in the fast pass, and I didn't experience that with this.
Yeah,
it, my son's telling me he's amazing.
I get it. But no, I think you're right though. I mean, the thing is, you got to use both, right? You got to get there early, knock out those e-ticket things like a Peter Pan, like a Seven Dwarves, right at rope drop. But then also, you know, start using your lightning lanes in conjunction, and that's how you're going to get tons of attractions done. But I mean, I think if you still want to get a lot done, getting there early, you still can't beat that.
Yes.
Ricky doesn't like getting there early, and it's still not a great. You know, you still don't want to roll in at noon. You're still going to be behind the 8-ball. You know, you want to get there early.
True.
Yep.
I do wish they'd get rid of the second rope drop though in Magic Kingdom. You know, for the resort guests, they're just waiting at another congested point before they go into Fantasyland or Tomorrowland. I could go away with that. But yes, the early morning, especially if you're a resort guest, you're able to knock out a lot.
Yes, you are. Well, hey, we appreciate the feedback. And thanks for calling in. And I'm glad you guys had a good trip.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family.
Yeah, you too.
All right, thanks. All right. I love this. Good calls tonight. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, good conversation.
Absolutely. Well, we got one more call. Let's get it in. I didn't have the... Okay, here we go. Final caller of the night. Hey, who's joining us?
Hi, it's Diane from Massachusetts.
Diane up in Massachusetts. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hello, Diane. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, thank you. I actually just wanted to call in just to thank you both. I just got back from a trip for the Wine and Dine race weekend. It was my first Run Disney event, and I have to thank you, Mike. I've been listening to the live call-in shows pretty much since March of 2020, listening to how much fun Run Disney is and the community and the lizard community and all that, and it really inspired me. I'm not a runner at all. I prefer cycling, like spin bike. But I went out there and did a 5K, and it was amazing. And I want to thank you, Scott, because during one of your recent shows, I think I had posted the question in one of the chats, and you suggested that the best way to prepare is to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and just stand in the dark, which is exactly what happened.
Scott, you did not say that.
Yeah, I mean that really. If you want to simulate the true experience of Run Disney at home, yes, you wake up at 2 in the morning and you stand in the dark for 2 hours.
Or stand out in your street.
Yes, exactly. But
congratulations, Diane! That is so cool. That is so cool on that 5K. Was it raining? Race I missed. That's the day I flew in and it rained, as you know, for like 15 hours that day. But how was the 5K?
So the 5K, it was pretty drizzly, and then it would kind of pick up. You know, it was back and forth with like the how bad it was raining. So I had a rain jacket on, and I had layers, which I kind of like shedded along the way, which I had read in somebody's blog that's usually what people do with like ponchos, rain jackets, right. Sweatshirt. It was a little bit on the chilly side, and I killed some time by waiting in line to take a picture with the mirror on the wall. It didn't really get bad until during the day, and we were at Epcot that day, and we just couldn't take it. We were soaked.
That's where I was too. It was so rainy.
Oh my
at Epcot.
God! It was raining. It was raw. I had wanted to see Harmonious so bad, but we just couldn't take it. I went with my husband and my two kids, and they were troopers. We made the most of like Lightning Lane and Genie Plus and tried to get into attractions and made the most of our day. But at 4 o'clock, we finally just gave up. Nothing's worse than wet jeans and wet sneakers.
Right.
So, we ended up just going back to the resort, and it just got progressively heavier, and we didn't think they were going to do Harmonious. I wasn't sure. But at that point we just had, you know, that raw chill in your bones. So we kind of, just hung around, at the resort. So,
okay. So that's what we ended up doing. So we actually entered Epcot like around 3:30 because we had a Ratatouille. Then the ride was down, so we got some crepes. Then the ride came back up, so we were able to do it. Then we just were we had to just dry off. This is so bad. And that was like the best thing we did. We took showers, we got dry, and then we just went to dinner on the monorail, and it was perfect. Sounds like you did something similar, just drying off at the resort, and that made all the difference for us for that day for us.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we stayed at Port Orleans Riverside. So we ended up taking an Uber, like a 3-minute Uber ride over to the French Quarter, simply because we couldn't stand walking in the rain anymore.
Right.
Took a 3-minute Uber ride to go get some beignets. So,
that's awesome. You know, I love that story.
We laughed about it. Yeah.
At that point, you're like, I don't care if it costs $25 as long as it pulls up under the cover where I don't have to get wet. Whatever. I'll pay it.
Funny you should say that. It cost us $30.
It's raining. You know what? Right now, I mean, everything right now costs a fortune, right? I mean, gas, everything is expensive. I mean, Ubers. I mean, yeah, no joke. I mean, because I remember, like, we used to get around Walt Disney World because we'd ride them all the time. Scott and I, when we were down with our family, it's like $7 everywhere. You know, $5, $7, $8. It ain't that anymore, you know, so.
Diane, can I ask you two questions? Yeah. One, did you wear your medal proudly through the rest of the trip in the parks? And second, are you wanting to sign up for more Run Disney races now?
Good questions.
Oh my gosh. So yes and yes. I the next day was Magic Kingdom, and I took my medal, and I took pictures with awesome. The photographers, because I mean, to me, you know, it's not a marathon, but to me it was my marathon.
Yes.
You know,
they're all
I have a really bad knee.
They're all so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a bad knee. I probably shouldn't have even been running, but it's okay. It was like a check on the bucket list, and I absolutely want to run another one. Princess is already closed, so I'm looking at springtime surprise now. I just have to see how I can make it work with the kids' school schedules. But I definitely have like that Run Disney itch now because the community is just so wonderful. I sat on the bus with a perfect stranger, and he was giving me like so much encouragement, and he made my 5K seem like it was, you know, like a big deal, which to me it was. And he was doing the challenge, and just everybody was just so kind and encouraging.
Well, that's so awesome. Yeah. And that is Run Disney 40. So if you do, I'm going to do springtime too. That's the plan. So if you do come down, like, I would love to meet you, congratulate you in person on that 5K. And then you got to get with the lizards and do the photo that we do every morning too.
Yeah. And if you like that, seriously, if you like that one, you're in. Because I came down Friday that afternoon. I got there at about 3 o'clock that afternoon on Friday. And so I ran that morning on the treadmill back at home, and I was watching everybody. I'm like, oh man, it is miserable. I felt so bad for all you guys running that 5K because we were all so excited. And you know, when you sign up for the race and you're training for the race, you always picture like, oh yeah, it's going to be 70 and comfortable and my cute costume and all that. Yeah. And then, you know, reality sets in, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and it's not nice, but I'm so glad you had a good time though.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I felt like Tinkerbell, honestly. I was flying around that world showcase, the rain, you know, like Elsa, the cold never bothered me anyway. The rain didn't bother me at all.
That's so great.
That's the attitude. That's the attitude. Cause we've run in all kinds of weather, Scott and I, you know, you just got to. And that's the thing is like, I only ran on Saturday. And the thing was like, I brought with me gloves and a stocking cap. I brought that stuff, but I left it in the room. I should have wore it. Like I was cold.
Yeah. It was so windy that morning. My gosh. Like the wind just like ripped right through you. It was so cold.
I ran fast because I had a 7:30 Magical Express I had to catch. So I was booking and I almost fell at mile three. Actually, I hit a metal thing on a bridge. And almost bit it. It was scary. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good race weekend, but it'll be good. You know, we got Marathon and then we got Princess and then we got Surprise. You know, we got some cool races coming back in.
So my first Run Disney race is coming back. It was the Everest 5K. And it's going to be at night too, which pumps me up so much. Like I am so excited for that 5K. More excited than 5K I've ever been. So yeah, Diane, if you can come down and do that one, I think you'll love it. It's so awesome.
I would like to. That's going to be the goal. I'm gonna do some Disney math with numbers and the calendar and rationalize it.
That's awesome.
Make it work. Crunch the numbers till it works. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Hey, we're so proud of you, and thank you for calling because that, you know what you probably did? You just probably inspired somebody else to get out there and give it a shot, and that's going to just domino right down the line, and we're really proud of you. So thanks for giving us that call, and thanks for being a part of the podcast family. This is truly what it's all about.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving up in Massachusetts. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. You know, they do it right up there. I think that's where it started. Up in that area, it's pretty cool. All right, hey, well, we're gonna get out of here and cut you loose, but tonight, Scott, we got the calls. Some nights we're like begging for calls.
I know sometimes we struggle, so and tonight I had a whole bunch of stories like lined up that I could share, so like save those for another time. The calls were good tonight
right, and we'll do it, and I love when we get
the chat was on fire too.
I know the chat
like
was
I saw
fire.
Someone was able to answer Ben's question. Yeah, as long as he's staying at the Riviera the night he goes to that party, he'll be able to scan his magic band for the extended hours. The chat was awesome with answering questions too. So this is a good night.
It is. And so again, we'll do this next Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Facebook and YouTube. Come on over, give us a call, and we'll be, you know, get into more details of Scott's trip, my trip. We'll talk about the springtime surprise races. We'll dive into that because I was going to talk about that tonight, but we have time for that next week. But more importantly, your calls. We'll talk about all the stuff happening. This show is always going to be about you. It's kind of our immediate way to kind of all get together, just see what's going on. So again, don't forget today's show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for your Disney trip planning needs over at themagicforless.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow us to put this show out almost 2,000 episodes now. All around the world, we love getting to do this podcast, and it's because of your support. If you'd like a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give Scott a follow. He's a good one over on Twitter and Instagram, at Epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T. I'm at BRGuestMike, and of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. And we will catch you on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at BeOurGuestPodcast.com and all your favorite podcast applications. All right, for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Sunday night if you're listening live or if you're catching the show on Thursday. Have a great week. We've made it to the weekend again. So stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.